bought a piece of property, and before we even made the first mortgage payment, we had two fires and a windstorm. And so we're Chicago people, you're like, okay, the fire department's gonna show up. And well, Hawaii Island is so big, there's not enough career firefighters to go around. So we didn't know this at the time. We hadn't even moved in officially to this property. And so it was kind of really scary, mm-hmm. that this fire and everything. And then so the county said that they have these volunteer fire stations that supplement the career guys and mm-hmm. girls. And so after, you know, it kind of devastated our little area, they offered to train us the same exact training that the career guys get, so we can form a volunteer fire company. And the thought being that we can get a handle on things and kind of get the ball going before the career guys show up, because it takes them a while to get there. And so we went to the meeting, and I was all intent to be a support person and fundraiser and telephone tree and all that. And the man, Lloyd, he's like, no, we will teach you how to be a firefighter. And I was like, really? And then I'm thinking, you know, if there was an emergency, you don't want somebody my size showing up to rescue you. But it was true. We did get excellent training, and the system did work in that so many times we were able to stop a fire before it got out of control. And I'm just kind of proud of myself that I was capable of doing that.
Now, is there a Grandma is a Firefighter book? Did you write that as well?
I never even thought of that. Thank you.
Okay, I get a byline in there, or at least an acknowledgement.
I never thought
of
that.
How many books? I'm sorry, I don't know the answer to this. How many separate books do you have in the Grandma series?
I have to count them out.
Okay, that's
Grandma
great.
Goes to Antarctica.
She's so modest. I love it, and it's genuine.
Grandma goes to the South Pacific. Grandma goes to the Alaska Wilderness. The Junior Iditarod. Okay. Mm-hmm. Grandma goes to New Zealand and Australia. The Trans-Siberian Railway, which is the first in my series, because from that Trans-Siberian Railway, I went through China, Mongolia, Siberia, and Russia. So I'm working on those books. And then I'm also working on Grandma Goes to Hawaii. And then Surreal Reflections on Ice is my Antarctica memoir. So it's the grown-up version of Grandma Goes to Antarctica. Okay. And that's at Prairie Fox Books, by the way.
That's all right, sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I am writing the sequel to that story.
Now, the Grandma series, yeah. I read somewhere, these aren't just for kids. This is for adults as well.
Yes, and that really surprised me. And what I love with my speaking engagements is I get that instant feedback mm-hmm. from my audience. And they're like, yes, we buy the books for the kids and the grandkids, but we love it too, because they're short stories, 80 pages, half photographs, and you can learn a whole lot about a culture and not be invested in a novel. And I was like, oh, I never thought of that.
Now, does that change the way you write now that you know that?
I don't think so.
You originally started out to write for younger people.
Yeah.
And now that adults are reading it.
No, I'm just telling my story. I'm just telling from my point of view, an older person. You know, I'm a city person, so a lot of these adventures were so out of my comfort zone, it's not even funny. Mm-hmm. And what really happened to me, and I tell you, I couldn't make this stuff up. I'm not that creative. It's just my true stories.
Did you ever have a moment in travel where you landed somewhere that you thought, oh, this is a horrible mistake? And it was.
Well, when we got to Antarctica, now you think, okay, it's cold. I was going for a summer season, okay? And they give you all the extreme cold weather gear. And so you're bundled up like a kid in a snowsuit. Mm-hmm. And you fly on this C-17, which is a military cargo plane, to get there, okay. Right?
All right.
And so you're all bundled up, and the plane lands on the frozen ocean. I don't even want to tell you how scary that is. The frozen ocean. And now it's your turn to get to the doorway and walk down the steps and start your tour of duty, so to speak. And you get to the top of those stairs, and that blast of frigid air. Now, that I was working the summer season. It was negative 38 without wind chill.
Oh.
It goes right through all your gear. And you know that movie Home Alone?
Mm-hmm.
Macaulay,
yes,
when he slaps his face?
Yes.
That's what I wanted to do. Because in an instant, you're like, oh my God, what have I done?
Yes.
I wanted this? Why did I want this? Are you crazy? And then your mind is racing and you're thinking, what if I can't do the job? What if I can't remember all the buildings? Yeah. What if I can't? And then you think, wait a minute, there's no way out of here. There's no commercial planes.
Yeah.
There's no trains, there's no buses, there's nothing, just that C-17 weather permitting. So I did kind of freak out in that first like 5 seconds, you know, you're like, what have I done? But I felt so at home in Antarctica, which makes no sense because I love Hawaii.
Yeah. Yes.
And I was cold.
This from, I complain when it's 50 degrees. Ask the guys in the newsroom. I start complaining. You're listening to The Afternoon Drive. Gina Rapopolo's with me. I'm not letting you leave until 4 o'clock. We'll be back after this. And 3:55 here, Maggie Frost back on The Afternoon Drive. And joining me in studio is Gina Rapopolo, who you had said something about the I Dream of Gina and crossing your arms.
Yeah.
I think I'm sitting with a live version of that. Okay. All right. Tell me, I mean, seriously, the reason that I first looked into you to begin with were three words, Swedish death cleaning. I'll tell you off air what I thought at first. But anyway, no, go ahead. Tell me about this, because you had, you were going to give a talk and then Snowmageddon came through, yeah. But of course, somebody who's done what you did, that was probably just, you had shorts on and stuff, didn't you?
No.
Okay, so we got snowed out, so you're back on the Reddick schedule. All right, what is Swedish death cleaning?
Again, it's a long story. I'm trying to give you a short version. So part of what I do is I have telephone conference calls with seniors who are shut-ins. Okay, so twice a month I do these conference calls. One is usually a game. Hard to play a game, you know, over the phone. Mm-hmm. But we do a game, and then we talk about whatever. So every month I'm always looking for what are we going to talk about now. So my friend Mary Olson, who owns Rock, Paper, Scissors and Prairie Fox Books, who is also the reason how I know her, hello, Mary, is she is my youngest sister's best friend from high school.
Okay. I followed
that.
So
that's our connection.
Okay.
And she knows that I do these telephone topics with my seniors, and I'm always looking for ideas on what to talk about. But because her and Gabby own the bookstore, they get early drafts of books. And so she had given me this book called Swedish Death Cleaning. Hadn't been published yet, and said maybe this would be something you could talk about with your seniors. Well, I love this book. This lady is Swedish. She's between the age of 80 and 100 years old. This is her first published book. I love it. And she did not only the text, but the illustrations. See, okay. You're never too old to try something, sure. Right? And her book was just so much fun, easy read. And I was like talking to myself the whole time I'm reading it going, well, this is my version. This is what I've instinctively been doing my whole life, you know. So this is the official Swedish death cleaning. And then there's Jeannie's version. So I did this talk with my seniors and they loved it. And again, the instant feedback, they're like, oh, Jeannie, you got to take this one on the road. This is really a good topic. Mm-hmm. And so I talk at the Tinley Park Library all the time. And I was telling the librarian about my new topic. And she said, oh, I love the idea, but I want it as a PowerPoint. Never let on you don't know how to do something. I'm thinking, how am I going to turn this into a PowerPoint? But once I sat down, and again, it's all my photos from my life and what I have instinctively been doing is my version of death cleaning.
Okay.
Okay. And I have been, this is like the hottest topic going for like the last 2 years. This is all the libraries want to talk about is Swedish death cleaning. I have had standing room only, people turned away because the rooms can't hold that many that want to hear about Swedish death cleaning. I mean, who knew?
No, you are at Reddick on what?
The 26th. 26. At 6 p.m.
6 p.m. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And so as I do with my audiences, we were going to have a conversation and I'm going to explain how it all came about and why I feel comfortable talking about this and what I've done with my 22 moves in my lifetime and, you know, taking care of the grandparents and the parents, you know, when they pass away and you have to deal with things. And I have a lot of experience.
Okay. Somehow I suspect you will understand when I tell you the last time I moved, which was 4 years ago, and I had like 12 Pyrex dishes all the same size. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to do a lot of fun things that, and it's for all ages. You know, okay. She was talking mostly about elderly people and how you should downsize your life so, you know, you don't give this burden to your children, which I agree with. But we're going to do things for all ages.
We are out of time. Promise me you'll come back.
Oh, I would
okay.
love to.
Okay, all right.
Voice of Star Trek Country. Full service, 1430 WCMY Ottawa Marseilles. And streaming at 1430 WCMY.